All right, so you wanted to know what the Bible really says about marriage. Not just the surface level stuff, but like a deep dive, into its meaning, the struggles, the potential. We're gonna go all the way from Genesis to Ephesians. Throw in some Proverbs. Yeah, we'll even hit up Song of Solomon for some poetic vibes. Get ready to unpack some ancient wisdom. And you might be surprised how relevant it still is today.
Yeah, it's really amazing how these ancient texts can still speak to us, even, thousands of years later. There's so much to uncover about commitment, intimacy, and just how to navigate the ups and downs that every relationship faces.
So let's jump right in with Genesis 2.24, where it talks about leaving your parents and becoming one flesh. That's got to be about more than just moving out, right?
Yeah, it really is.
What's the deeper meaning there?
I think it's about forging a whole new identity as a couple. This verse tells us that the bond between husband and wife becomes a top priority, even above the ties to your family of origin. Imagine two rivers merging to become one. That's the kind of inseparable bond we're talking about.
That makes sense, but I can see how that could get tricky. Like, what about holidays? Or dealing with in-laws who maybe don't quite get that oneness you're describing.
That's where it gets real, because leaving and cleaving isn't just a nice idea. It actually plays out in those everyday choices. Think about your own relationships. Have there been times where you've had to prioritize your bond as a couple above other relationships? That's putting Genesis 2.24 into action.
And it's interesting because that idea of one flesh doesn't stop there. Matthew 19.6 uses that same imagery, and it seems to point to something even deeper than just the physical union.
You're picking up on something really important. One flesh is about the merging of two lives, hopes, fears, dreams, the whole package. It's two separate streams becoming one river. And that oneness affects everything. Finances, emotional support, even how you handle disagreements.
So if you're in the middle of a fight, it's not really me versus you anymore, but more like figuring out what's best for the us. That's a huge mindset shift.
It's a challenge to see conflict as an opportunity to strengthen that oneness, not something that divides you. It's about finding solutions that work for both of you because you're on the same team.
Okay, now for a verse that I know can be a bit tricky, Ephesians 5.25, husbands loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Powerful image. But what does that kind of love look like day to day?
It's about those consistent everyday acts of service, putting your wife's needs before your own, even when it's inconvenient. We often think of grand gestures, but this verse is about the little things. Think of it this way. It's not about the fireworks on your anniversary. It's about taking out the trash on a Tuesday night, just because, it helps her out.
Ouch. I feel that. I'm definitely guilty of zoning out sometimes instead of really listening.
We all struggle with that, but that's the beauty of this verse. It points to a love that isn't based on feelings, but on consistent, selfless action. And honestly, that kind of love has the power to change us and our marriages from the inside out.
Now let's tackle a passage that tends to generate a lot of discussion. Ephesians 5.22-24, where it talks about submission and leadership in marriage. It can feel a little outdated in today's world, don't you think?
It's definitely a passage that requires some careful thought, especially given how our culture views these concepts. The Greek word, often translated as submit, can also mean yield or align with. So it's not about blind obedience, but a posture of mutual respect and consideration.
But some people might hear this and worry. It does mean one person is always in charge. How do you respond to that?
It's a valid concern, but remember, the key is that leadership in this context isn't about controlling your spouse. It's about empowering them, uplifting them, and yes, protecting them. These are qualities that can be expressed in so many different ways, depending on the couple.
So it's less about who makes all the decisions and more about using your individual strengths to support each other.
It's recognizing that each partner brings unique gifts and talents to the table. And there's a willingness to listen to each other's perspectives, even when you disagree.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to a topic that can be a bit, well,
all right,
awkward to discuss. Yes. 1 Corinthians 7:3-5 talks about sexual intimacy and marriage.
Right.
What do you think stands out most in this passage?
What's fascinating to me is the emphasis on mutuality.
Okay.
It's not about one person's needs taking priority over the other.
Right.
Instead, it's this beautiful idea of both partners freely and joyfully giving themselves to the other.
Okay.
Seeking each other's pleasure and fulfillment.
So it's about open communication.
Yeah.
Vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And really respecting each other's boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Making sure both partners feel loved and cherished.
That's something that gets lost in a culture.
Yeah.
That often emphasizes individual gratification.
Right.
The Bible, on the other hand, paints a very different picture, one of mutual self-giving and shared delight.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit.
Right.
And look at the positive aspects of marriage.
Okay.
The scriptures highlight.
Okay.
Proverbs 18:22 says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Then you have Ecclesiastes 4:9-12.
Right.
Talking about the strength and support found in companionship.
Yeah.
What do you make of those verses?
These verses are all about celebrating the blessings that come with marriage.
Oh.
It's not just about romantic love, though that's definitely part of it.
Yeah.
It's about having a partner who walks beside you
through
all of life's ups and downs,
sharing
the burdens and celebrating the victories together.
I love that image from Ecclesiastes, the threefold cord.
It's so powerful.
It's like saying that two people united in love and purpose
become
stronger, more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
They can withstand challenges that would break an individual.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's about that sense of shared commitment, knowing that you're not alone.
Right.
That you have someone in your corner no matter what.
Yeah.
That's a powerful image of the strength that a healthy marriage can provide.
Now let's talk about a crucial aspect of marriage.
Okay.
Faithfulness and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi 2:14-16.
Right.
And Mark 10:9.
Yeah.
We're pretty clear about where the Bible stands on the permanence of marriage.
Absolutely.
What's the core message here?
These verses highlight the covenant nature of marriage.
Okay.
It's not just a contract you can break when things get tough.
Right.
It's a sacred vow made before God, reflecting his own faithfulness to us.
Wow.
The Bible is saying that marriage is a lifelong journey.
Right.
And it's a journey that we're meant to travel together.
Yeah.
Through thick and thin.
It's choosing to honor that commitment even when things are hard.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
It's about making a conscious choice to love and to stay committed, even when faced with challenges.
Yeah.
And while these verses express God's ideal for marriage, there's also an acknowledgement in scripture that we live in a fallen world where things don't always go according to plan.
You're right. I mean, 1 Corinthians 7:28 acknowledges that marriage, while good, also comes with its share of worldly troubles.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder that the Bible isn't out of touch with the realities of relationships.
It's reassuring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it acknowledges that even in the midst of those worldly troubles, God's grace is available to us.
Right.
We don't have to be perfect.
Right.
We just have to be willing to keep seeking his guidance as we navigate the complexities of our relationship.
So it's not about achieving some unattainable ideal of perfection.
Right.
But about striving to live out those biblical principles the best we can, even when we stumble.
That's the heart of it.
Yeah.
It's about that ongoing pursuit of growth,
right,
of learning to love more deeply and more selflessly each day.
Mm.
And that's a journey that we're meant to take together,
yeah,
supporting and encouraging one another along the way.
I'm curious about those verses that seem to focus on the practical stuff.
Okay.
Like managing a household and finances.
Yeah.
For example, 1 Timothy 5:8 emphasizes the responsibility to provide for your family.
Mm-hmm.
What's the message there?
It's a powerful statement about the importance of providing for those entrusted to your care.
Right.
While often linked to the husband's role, it's not solely his responsibility.
Okay.
It's about both partners working together to create a stable and loving home environment.
Right. And Titus 2:4-5 encourages wives to cultivate qualities that contribute to a harmonious home.
Yeah.
Self-control, purity, kindness,
mm-hmm,
and submission to their husbands.
Yeah.
That last one can be a little tricky for some people to hear, though.
It's definitely a verse that requires some careful interpretation
yeah.
within its historical and cultural context.
Right.
The focus here is on both partners working together
okay.
to create a loving and supportive home.
Right.
Not one dominating the other. It's
right.
about recognizing and respecting each other's roles and contributions.
And even beyond the practical tasks, there's that emphasis on character qualities.
Right.
Like kindness and self-control.
Yeah.
Those are crucial for any healthy relationship.
Absolutely.
Regardless of gender roles, right?
It's about creating an environment of mutual respect and support.
Yeah.
That teamwork mentality should extend beyond just chores and finances
mm-hmm.
to emotional support, mm. encouraging each other's dreams,
right.
and facing life's challenges together as a united front.
It's about moving away from that me versus you mentality.
Exactly.
And embracing the us.
It's about recognizing that you're on the same team,
right?
Working towards the same goals.
Yeah.
And that requires a commitment to understanding each other's perspectives,
right.
Strengths and weaknesses.
I mean, that makes me think of Proverbs 12:4, which says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones."
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful image.
It's a striking reminder of the profound impact a
right.
spouse can have on their partner, for
yeah.
better or for worse.
Right.
That crown imagery speaks of honor,
yeah.
dignity, and strength.
Mm.
It's suggesting that a wife who embodies wisdom, virtue, and support can uplift and empower her husband,
right.
helping him become the best version of himself.
And Proverbs 19:12 adds another dimension. House and wealth are inherited from fathers,
mm-hmm.
but a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What's the significance of that addition?
It acknowledges that finding a wise and capable partner
yeah.
is a true gift,
right.
a blessing that goes beyond any material possessions.
Right.
It's saying that seeking a partner who brings wisdom and strength to the relationship should be a priority.
Okay.
And it speaks to the importance of relying on God's guidance in this area.
Okay. I want to address the well-known passage in Proverbs 31:1031.
Okay.
Often called the virtuous wife.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it sets an impossible standard.
Right.
How do you interpret this passage?
It's easy to get bogged down in the details
yeah.
and miss the big picture.
Right.
This isn't about checking off boxes on some impossible list.
Right.
It's about celebrating the multifaceted nature of a woman's strength.
Okay.
Resourcefulness, compassion, and wisdom. It's about encouraging women to embrace their God-given gifts
yeah.
and to use them to bless their families and communities.
So it's not about being perfect at everything.
Right.
But about striving to use your unique gifts to make a difference in the world.
Exactly.
Whether you're married or single.
And I love how this passage portrays the Proverbs 31 woman as active and engaged in the world.
Yeah.
She's a businesswoman, a community leader, someone who makes things happen.
Yeah.
It's inspiring, don't you think?
It really is.
Yeah.
And that brings us to Romans 7:23, which provides some further insight
okay.
into the permanence of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What's the key point this passage is making?
This passage reinforces the concept that marriage is a binding commitment
okay.
intended to last until death.
Mm-hmm.
It clarifies the expectations and consequences surrounding marriage and remarriage.
So while the Bible upholds the ideal of lifelong faithfulness,
right.
it also acknowledges that we live in a complex world where things don't always go according to plan.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And we need to approach these topics with sensitivity.
Right.
And recognize that real life can be messy.
Yeah.
It's about offering grace and support
yeah.
to those who are struggling in their marriages.
I want to circle back to this idea of marriage as a covenant.
Yeah.
A sacred vow before God.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a recurring theme throughout the Bible.
It is.
And it really elevates marriage to a whole other level.
It does.
What are your thoughts on that?
It transforms marriage from a simple contract
huh.
to a profound spiritual commitment.
Right.
One that reflects God's own faithfulness and unwavering love for us.
It's like saying, this isn't just about us. There's something bigger at play here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that understanding can be so grounding.
Right.
Especially when things get tough.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we're not alone in this journey.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a higher power guiding and supporting us.
Right.
It gives a whole new depth of meaning to those wedding vows.
Wow.
For better or worse, in sickness and in health.
When we view those words through the lens of covenant,
mm-hmm.
they take on a weight and a permanence that's truly inspiring.
And now for a verse that feels like a breath of fresh air.
Okay.
Song of Solomon 2:16.
Right.
It's just so beautiful and poetic. My beloved is mine and I am his. He grazes among the lilies.
Yeah.
What's the feeling you get from this verse?
It's like a love song,
okay,
capturing the essence of mutual belonging and delight
right.
that should be at the heart of every marriage. It's a reminder that in the midst of all the practicalities and challenges, we shouldn't lose sight of the beauty and the joy of simply being together.
I love that image of grazing among the lilies.
Yeah.
There's such a sense of peace, contentment,
great,
and abundance.
It's beautiful.
It's like saying, with you, my heart finds rest and joy.
It's a beautiful reminder that a strong marriage isn't just about weathering storms together.
Right.
It's also about savoring the good times.
Yeah.
Appreciating the beauty in each other. And finding joy in the simple moments of connection.
And throughout Proverbs, there's this recurring theme of the wife of noble character.
Yeah.
It's more than just being a good homemaker, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These passages celebrate the strength,
right,
integrity, wisdom, and compassion that women bring to their relationships and to the world.
Right.
They challenge outdated stereotypes and portray women as capable, resourceful, and active participants in their communities.
We see that in the Proverbs 31 woman.
Yeah.
She's a businesswoman, a leader, a wise counselor,
right,
a force to be reckoned with.
She's an inspiration to us all, reminding us that we're all called to cultivate those inner qualities that make us valuable partners, friends, and members of society, whether we're married or single.
I think that's such an important point to emphasize.
Yeah.
These qualities are not just for wives.
Right.
They're for everyone who wants to live a life of purpose and impact.
You're so right. Yeah.
It's about cultivating those characteristics that reflect God's character in us.
Okay.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Wow.
Those are the qualities that will enrich our lives and our relationships.
Right.
Regardless of our marital status.
So as we wrap up this first part of our deep dive, what would you say are some of the key takeaways you want our listener to ponder?
I think the most important takeaway is that marriage is a sacred institution.
Okay.
Designed by God to be a source of love, companionship, and mutual growth.
Right.
It's about making a conscious choice to love and serve our partners,
right,
even when it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's about remembering that we're not alone in this journey.
Yeah.
We have God's grace and guidance to help us navigate the challenges and experience the incredible blessings that come with a committed,
right,
Christ-centered marriage.
That's a beautiful summary.
Thank you.
It makes me think about those couples
who seem to just get each other.
Right.
Who are so in sync and face challenges as a team.
Right.
It's like they've tapped into that deeper level of connection that we've been talking about.
That's a great observation.
Yeah.
Those couples are often the ones who have intentionally cultivated that oneness that we see throughout the scriptures.
Right.
They've learned to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
To forgive freely and to support each other's growth.
Right.
And they recognize that their marriage is more than just a contract.
Yeah.
It's a covenant, a sacred commitment that goes beyond themselves.
It's inspiring, isn't it?
It is.
It makes you realize that building a strong, lasting marriage takes effort, intentionality,
right,
and a willingness to lean on God's grace.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
And the Bible provides us with an incredible roadmap to guide us along the way.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive, but there's still so much more to explore.
Right.
We've just scratched the surface of what the Bible has to say about marriage.
Yeah, you're right.
So too.
We have so much more to unpack.
Stay tuned.
From the practicalities of communication and conflict resolution.
Deep dive.
To the deeper mysteries of intimacy and spiritual connection.
Yeah.
We'll delve even deeper into those topics in our next segment.
So stay tuned, deep divers.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon to continue our exploration of this fascinating and incredibly rewarding topic.
Absolutely. Welcome back to our deep dive into what the scriptures reveal about marriage.
It really has been quite a journey so far.
It has.
Yeah, we've uncovered so much about the foundation of marriage.
Right.
That idea of leaving and cleaving, becoming one flesh. It's powerful stuff.
It is.
I'm curious to explore how those principles play out.
Yeah.
In the everyday realities of married life.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's one thing to understand the biblical ideal.
Right.
But how do we actually live that out? When faced with conflict, busyness.
Yeah.
All the challenges that come with sharing your life with another person.
Exactly. For example, we talked about unity being at the heart of marriage.
Right.
But what happens when disagreements inevitably pop up.
Yeah.
How do you maintain that oneness when you're in the feet of an argument?
That's where that shift in perspective we discussed earlier becomes crucial.
Yeah.
If we're truly one flesh, as the scriptures say,
right,
then disagreements are no longer about me versus you.
Okay.
Instead, it's about finding a solution that benefits the us.
So it's less about trying to win the argument.
Right.
And more about working together as a team to find a resolution that honors both of you.
Precisely.
Okay.
It takes humility.
Yeah.
A willingness to listen.
Right.
And a commitment to understanding your partner's perspective.
Yeah.
Even if you don't fully agree with it.
I can see how challenging that can be.
Yeah.
Especially when emotions are running high.
It is.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in the moment.
It is.
And forget about that oneness we're striving for.
It definitely takes practice,
yeah,
patience, and a whole lot of grace.
Right.
But the rewards are so worth it.
Yeah.
When you can approach conflict with that oneness mindset,
right,
you're more likely to find solutions that strengthen your bond,
yeah,
rather than tearing it apart.
Okay, another challenge many couples face is balancing individual needs and desires with the needs of the relationship.
Right.
How do those biblical principles guide us in finding that balance?
It goes back to that concept of self-sacrificial love.
Okay.
We explored in Ephesians 5.25, putting your spouse's needs before your own, even when it's inconvenient.
But does that mean we have to constantly sacrifice our own happiness?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's not about becoming a doormat or neglecting your own needs. It's about finding a healthy balance.
Yeah.
And that requires open and honest communication.
So it's about talking to your partner about your needs, desires, and dreams.
Exactly. And being willing to truly listen to theirs as well.
It's about creating a space where both of you feel safe to be vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
And to express yourselves honestly.
Right.
And sometimes that means compromising, finding a solution that works for both of you.
Yeah.
Even if it means letting go of something you really wanted.
It's about choosing to put the us before the me.
You got it.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
in those little everyday moments.
And that's where that oneness mindset comes in again.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not about winning or getting your way.
Right.
It's about making decisions that honor both individuals and the relationship as a whole.
Okay, let's talk about another area
right.
that can sometimes be tricky in marriage.
Okay.
Roles and responsibilities.
Right.
We touched on Ephesians 5.22-24, which talks about submission and leadership.
Right.
But how do we navigate that in a way that feels balanced and respectful in today's world?
It's important to remember that passage isn't about creating a rigid hierarchy or giving one person all the power.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing the unique gifts and talents each partner brings to the relationship and using them to support each other.
So instead of trying to fit into some predefined mold, couples should focus on leveraging their individual strengths.
That's the idea.
To build a strong partnership.
And it might look different in every marriage.
Right.
There's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
The key is open communication.
Mm.
Honesty about your strengths and weaknesses, and finding a division of labor that works for both of you.
And I imagine those roles might even evolve over time as life circumstances change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Flexibility and adaptability are crucial.
Right.
What works in one season of life might not work in another.
Yeah.
And regardless of how you divide the responsibilities, it's crucial to do so with an attitude of love and respect.
So no scorekeeping or building up resentment.
Right.
Because you feel like you're doing more than your fair share.
It's about serving each other, supporting each other, and celebrating each other's contributions.
Right.
No matter how big or small they may seem.
Now, I want to touch on a topic
that's
incredibly important but often difficult to discuss. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
How do the scriptures guide us in extending grace and forgiveness to our spouses?
It's a powerful question.
Yeah.
And it goes to the very heart of the Christian faith.
Right.
We're all sinners in need of God's grace. And just as Christ forgave us, we're called to forgive others, including our spouses, even when it's painful.
But what about those situations where it feels almost impossible to forgive?
Right.
When the hurt is so deep.
Yeah.
And the betrayal is so real.
Those situations are incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't want to minimize the pain involved.
Right.
But remember, forgiveness is a process.
Okay.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Hmm.
And it's not about condoning the wrong that was done.
So it's not about saying what happened was okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or minimizing the impact of the hurt.
It's about releasing the anger and bitterness we hold on to.
Right.
Which ultimately harms us more than anyone else.
It does.
So forgiveness is about choosing to let go of that pain and resentment.
Yeah.
So that we can move forward and begin to heal.
And it doesn't mean forgetting what happened or pretending it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
It simply means choosing to release the other person from our judgment
okay. And
allowing ourselves to heal.
And I imagine that's where God's grace comes in, right?
You're absolutely right.
Because forgiveness,
yes,
especially in those really tough situations,
yeah,
can feel beyond our own strength.
We need God's help to forgive,
right,
to heal and to rebuild trust.
Mm.
And that's a process that takes time, patience, and a whole lot of prayer.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit.
All right.
And talk about another important aspect of marriage.
Okay.
Intimacy.
Right.
How do the scriptures help us understand this vital part of the relationship?
We've already touched on 1 Corinthians 7:3-5,
mm-hmm.
which highlights the importance of mutual pleasure and fulfillment in sexual intimacy.
Right.
It's about cherishing each other,
yeah,
honoring each other's bodies, and experiencing the joy of the gift that God has given us.
So it's not just about one person's needs or desires.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But about approaching intimacy as a shared experience.
Right.
Where both partners feel loved and respected.
It requires open communication.
It does.
Vulnerability and a deep level of trust.
Right.
And remember, intimacy isn't just about the physical act.
Right.
It's about emotional connection, too.
Exactly.
It's about feeling seen, heard, and understood by your partner.
It's about those everyday moments of connection.
Right.
Holding hands, cuddling on the couch, having meaningful conversations.
Those little things add up.
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Those small gestures can be just as powerful,
mm-hmm.
if not more so than the grand romantic gestures we see in movies.
Right.
They're the building blocks of a strong and lasting connection.
I think that's a great reminder for all of us,
yeah.
whether we're newlyweds or have been married for decades.
Yeah. It's so easy to get caught up in the business of life
right.
and forget to nurture that emotional intimacy.
Yeah. We need to be intentional about it.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Let's make a conscious effort to prioritize those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Put down our phones.
Right.
Turn off the TV.
Yeah.
And really connect with our spouses.
Yeah.
Remember, laughter, playfulness, and shared experiences.
Right.
Are all part of building that deep bond
mm-hmm.
that will help you weather any storm.
That's great advice.
Thank you.
Now, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
yeah.
I want to touch on one more crucial element.
Okay.
The role of prayer in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How can we invite God into our relationships?
That's such an important question.
Yeah.
And I think it's one that's often overlooked.
Right.
Prayer is essential for any healthy relationship.
Right, yeah.
But it's especially powerful in the context of marriage.
So how can we make prayer a regular part of our married lives?
It starts with making time for it.
Bevel.
Even if it's just 5 minutes each day.
Right.
Set aside some dedicated time to pray together as a couple.
And what should we pray about?
Anything and everything.
Okay.
Pray for each other's needs.
Yeah.
For your relationship, for your children,
right.
for your finances, for your dreams.
Yep.
And don't forget to give thanks for all the blessings you experience together.
Right.
Gratitude has a powerful way of shifting our perspective
mm-hmm.
and reminding us of all the good things in our lives.
And I think it's also important to pray for guidance.
Absolutely.
When we're facing challenges.
Yeah.
To ask God for wisdom, strength, and direction.
Right.
As we navigate those difficult situations.
God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives, mm-hmm. including our marriages.
Right.
And he promises to give us wisdom when we ask for it.
That's such a reassuring reminder.
It is.
Yeah, it's like we have a secret weapon in our arsenal.
Yeah.
Access to the very wisdom and power of God.
Exactly.
And that's a game changer.
It is.
Especially when we're dealing with those really tough challenges that mm-hmm. every marriage faces.
It really is.
Yeah.
And when we invite God into our marriages through prayer,
mm-hmm.
we open ourselves up to a level of love,
right.
joy, and fulfillment
yeah.
that we could never experience on our own.
Right.
It's like tapping into an unlimited source of strength,
yeah.
hope, and healing.
So let's commit to making prayer a regular part of our relationships.
Yes.
To intentionally seek God's guidance, His strength, and His love.
Absolutely.
In every season of our marriages.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we're talking about the power of prayer.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a verse in Philippians 4:6-7 that says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
It's such a comforting reminder.
It is.
That we don't have to face our challenges alone.
Yeah.
God is with us every step of the way.
He is.
Offering His peace and comfort when we need it most.
Yes. And when we invite Him into our marriages, we open ourselves up to that incredible peace.
Right.
A peace that truly surpasses our understanding.
Right.
It's a peace that can sustain us through the storms.
Yeah.
A peace that can bring healing to our hurts. Mm-hmm. A peace that can bind us together in a love.
Wow.
That's deeper and stronger than we could ever imagine.
Okay. We've covered a lot of ground in this second part of our deep dive.
We have.
From conflict resolution to intimacy to the power of prayer.
Right.
But there's still one more piece of the puzzle we need to explore.
You're right. We've talked about the challenges and the practicalities of marriage.
Right.
Now it's time to delve into the beauty, the poetry.
Right.
The inspiring vision of what a truly thriving, God-centered marriage can look like.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's like we've laid the groundwork and now we get to see the masterpiece unfold.
That's a great way to put it. And what better place to find inspiration than in the Song of Solomon?
Right.
One of the most beautiful and romantic books in the entire Bible.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Let's dive into that poetic world.
Yes.
And discover what treasures await us there.
Welcome back, Deep Divers.
Hey.
We're in the final stretch of our exploration into what the scriptures reveal about marriage.
Yeah.
And after covering the foundation and the practicalities, I think it's fitting that we end on a note of beauty and inspiration.
Right.
A glimpse into the poetic heart of it all.
Yes. Let's soak in some of that poetic beauty.
Yeah.
We've talked about the challenges and the hard work of marriage, but we can't forget that it's also meant to be a source of deep joy and delight.
You're so right.
Yeah.
And what better place to explore that dimension of marriage than in the Song of Solomon?
Okay.
It's like stepping into a lush garden filled with fragrant flowers and the intoxicating scent of romance.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that love isn't just an emotion.
Right.
But a full body experience, something that engages all of our senses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's revisit that beautiful verse from Song of Solomon 2:16.
All right.
"My beloved is mine and I am his. He grazes among the lilies."
Beautiful.
What images come to mind when you hear those words?
I get this sense of deep contentment, of two souls finding rest and nourishment in each other's presence.
Yeah.
Like the beloved is finding everything he needs in his lover.
Right.
Just as a shepherd finds pasture for his sheep among the lilies.
It's a beautiful picture of that mutual belonging and cherishing that's at the heart of a thriving marriage. Notice that reciprocal phrase, "my beloved is mine and I am his."
Okay.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
A recognition that they belong to each other completely.
And that speaks to the intimacy and unity that God intended for marriage from the very beginning.
Right.
Yeah, it's a reminder that in the midst of life's busyness and demands, we need to make space for those moments of simple connection and delight.
It's about savoring those times when we can just be together, fully present and attentive to one another, appreciating the beauty we find in our partner.
I think it's a challenge for many couples.
It is.
Especially in today's fast-paced world.
Yeah.
To slow down and create space for those moments of quiet intimacy.
It is.
But the Song of Solomon reminds us how essential those moments are for nurturing a vibrant and joyful marriage.
You're so right.
Yeah.
And as we reflect on the beauty and depth of biblical marriage, it's also important to acknowledge that not everyone's journey will look the same.
That's an important point to make.
It is.
We've been exploring this ideal vision of marriage.
Yeah.
But the reality is that life throws curveballs. And not everyone will experience a smooth or easy path.
Some will experience the joy of a lifelong marriage.
Right.
While others may face unexpected challenges, divorce, the death of a spouse, or threatens a profound difficulty.
And those experiences are valid.
They are.
And deserve to be acknowledged and honored.
Absolutely.
The Bible doesn't shy away from the reality of pain and brokenness.
It doesn't.
In fact, it offers comfort, hope, and guidance for those walking through those difficult seasons.
And I think it's crucial for the church to be a place of welcome and support for everyone.
Yeah.
Regardless of their marital status.
Right.
We need to create spaces where people feel safe to share their stories.
Yeah.
Seek guidance and receive love and encouragement.
Right.
No matter what their relationship journey looks like.
That's so important. Because ultimately, we're all on a journey toward love and connection.
Right.
And we need each other's support along the way.
You're so right.
Yeah.
And as we wrap up our deep dive,
okay.
I'm reminded of that powerful verse in Romans 8:28.
Okay.
And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
It's such a beautiful reminder.
It is.
That even when things don't go according to plan,
yeah,
even when we face heartache and disappointment,
mm.
God is still working in our lives.
He is.
Weaving together a tapestry of redemption and beauty.
And that includes our relationships.
Wow.
God can use even the most difficult experiences to shape us.
Right.
Refine us and draw us closer to himself.
It's a powerful reminder that we're never alone in our struggles.
You're right.
God's grace is always available to us.
It is.
Offering comfort, strength, and hope.
And to all our listeners out there.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the scripture's vision for marriage.
It's been great.
We hope it's challenged you.
Yeah.
Inspired you.
Yeah.
And deepened your understanding of God's beautiful design for love and commitment.
Keep exploring these truths.
Yes.
Let them shape your relationships, your families, and your communities.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, no matter where you are in your journey,
right.
You are loved, you are valued,
yeah.
And you are held in God's loving hands.
That's a beautiful sentiment to end on.
It is.
Until next time, deep divers,
yeah.
Keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.